والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، in continuation of our book Sharh Sunnah by Al-Imam Abu Ibrahim Al-Muzani rahimahullah, one of the students of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Idris Al-Shafi'i, one of the most popular persons in that madhab and one of the earliest Muslims to write a book of Aqidah, rahimahullah. We continue with the reading of that book, inshallah. And the discourse today will be about the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, radiallahu anhum. How are we supposed to dispose to the companions? What are we supposed to believe about the companions, radiallahu anhum? What is the etiquette, the manner of dealing with whatever has to do with the companions, radiallahu anhum? Because in the history of Islam, we have about three groups of people regarding companions. We had the Khawarij, who made takfir of companions. They declared the companions of the Prophet ﷺ as kuffar. Khawarij, they called companions kafirun. Amongst them at the time was Ali ibn Abi Talib. Amongst them was Ibn Abbas. Amongst them at the time was Ubadah ibn Samit. Yet they still refer to them as kuffar. It would have meant that Allah brought kuffar and made them the companions of the best of mankind. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. May Allah protect us. So the people of Sunnah will teach what is the Sunnah regarding the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we had the Shia. The Shia also declared the majority of the companions as kuffar. The Khawarij only declared from Ali radiallahu anhu down, but from Uthman bin Affan up and those who died before the Ghazwa of Siffin, the battle that took place in Siffin between the Shia, those who were with Ali ibn Abi Talib and those who were with Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. These two groups of people, after that battle, the Khawarij declare everyone from that time as kuffar amongst the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. But the case of the Shia is worse, especially the extremists amongst them. They start from Abu Bakr as-Siddiq to ascribe kufr to them. May Allah protect us. So that is a worse extremism about the companions of the Prophet. These people who declare Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman as kuffar, ulama declare them as kuffar because their action was or constitute belying the Quran. They are saying that that position of theirs implies saying that the Quran is a lie. Auzubillah. May Allah protect us. Because Allah describes these people with iman. He says, radiallahu anhum wa radu anhum, as-sabiqoon al-awwaloon min al-muhajirin wal-ansar wal-lazeen at-taba'uhum bi-ihsan, radiallahu anhum wa radu anhum. He says, as-sabiqoon al-awwaloon, the first and the foremost amongst those who accepted Islam. These were Abu Bakr and Siddiq and the rest of the companions. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Uthman ibn Affan, they were amongst the first people to accept Islam. We'll come back to that. Yet Allah says, radiallahu anhum wa radu anhum. They are pleased with Allah and Allah is pleased with them. Then the people come back to say they are kuffar. Allah said in Al-Baqarah, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Who were the mu'minun with the Prophet when the Quran was coming down, alayhi salatu wasalam? Who believed in him? They were no other than the companions. Allah said, kullun amana billah. Each of them had belief in Allah. وملائكته وكتبه ورسله and on. And then the people come back and say, no, they are kuffar. These people Allah told us in the Quran, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدِ اهْتَدَوْا. If the people believe in the way you companions believe, they are guided. And yet the people come back and say, these same people are kuffar. So that is why ulama make takfir of those who make takfir of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, Umar radiallahu anhu and others. There are other things also connected to those who made that statement. Those, the Shia who made that statement, went on one extreme, they made takfir of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and others. On the other extreme, they went to ascribe ilahiyya or uluhiyya worship to Ali ibn Abi Talib. They ascribed Ali radiallahu anhu to be Allah. Those were the Saba'iyya amongst the Shia. They were the extremists amongst them. So on one hand, they disparaged some of the companions. On the other hand, they raised some others amongst them to the status that they were never occupying. So because of this, the ulama gave those rulings on them. In fact, the Saba'iyya ran away. They ran away, Ibn Saba himself ran away. And those amongst them that Ali radiallahu anhu got held, arrested, many of them were executed. They were burned by Ali ibn Abi Talib. Although the likes of Abdullah ibn Abbas indicated that they could have been punished else other than having them, you know, burned. So it means the third group of people amongst those who went astray regarding the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were those that were called al-Nawatib. When the Shia went extremes regarding Ali ibn Abi Talib, they went extremes regarding Uthman ibn Affan, and they began to disparage Ali ibn Abi Talib. So, but the position of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah is wata, middle course, not disparaging any of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. And in the cases where they erred as human beings, praying for them that Allah forgives them their sins, because they were human beings, where they erred regarding issues of human judgment. But at the same time, the ulama will say they still have rewards, because Messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, إِذَا اجْتَهَدَ الْمُجْتَهِدِ فَأَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرًا. When somebody who has the authority to give verdict, derives the status, who has reached the status of being able to give verdict, when he does that and he is correct in the rulings that he gives, lahu ajran, he has two rewards. But if he errs, he says falahu ajrun wahid, he had only one reward. So whenever we can establish that a companion did something that was not, you know, from the way and the comments of the ulama about it, they gave him excuses and prayed for him, like Allah taught us to do in the Quran, when he said, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَالْإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ. So this is the way of the people of Sunnah. Whenever something the ulama rule as sahab, an error from a companion, we pray for them, Allah forgive them. Not by way of disparaging them or mentioning anything that reduces in their status, because these are people of eminence before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to treat them as eminent people is from making ta'zim of sha'air of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'zim of the symbols of Islam, because they form from the symbols of Islam. Without them, we would not have known Islam. In fact, people like Al-Imam Abu Zur'at al-Razi, he used to curse any person who cursed the companions. There was a man called Ibn Mi'yar al-Dilami. The man was a fire worshipper. And then he accepted Islam. when he accepted Islam, he began to abuse the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. And he was so strong in his pen, he could write Arabic very well, and he could compose poems very well. Because Arabs are filled by poems. He could compose poems very well. And that's why even today, if anybody wants to boast about the knowledge of Arabic, it's in his poem we understand that. So he would compose poems to abuse the companions of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Al-Imam ibn Kathir reported that one of the early Muslims said to him, Ya ibn Mi'yah, kharajta min zawiyatin min al-nar. Oh you, ibn Mi'yah, you came out of one zawiyah, one end from the fire, ila zawiyatin ukra min al-nar, into another end of fire. He was a fire worshipper. He claimed to accept Islam, and then he's abusing the Prophet's companions, radiallahu anhu. So from one corner of fire to another corner of fire. So may Allah protect us. This is the reason why the early Muslims, when they wrote about Aqidah, they mentioned issues connected to the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. That's why Imam al-Muzani said, وَيُقَالُ بِفَضْلِ خَلِيفَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه فهو أفضل الخلق وأخيرهم بعد النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ونستني بعده بالفاروق وهو عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه فهما وزيرا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وضجعاه في قبره وجليساه في الجنة ونسلط بذي النورين عثمان بن عفان ابن عفان رضي الله عنه ثم بذي الفضل والسقى علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. He tried to explain this point before we move ahead. He said, ويقال بفضل خليفة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. He says, ويقال, it should be said, it should be held as an opinion. It's not just to say it, because iman does not end with speech. He told us earlier in this book, he says, wal imanu qawlun wa amalun ma'tiqadi bil janan, qawlun bil lisan wa amalun bil jawarih wal arkan. So when he says wa yuqal, it is also from the aspect of saying wa nu'minu, we believe. It's just not merely saying that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is like this, like this, like this. We believe it in our heart. He says, بِفَضْلِ خَلِيفَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. We believe in the excellence, in the virtue of who? The Khalifa of Rasul, صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. خَلِيفَةُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. This statement, Khalifatu Rasulillah, Khalifa, could mean someone who was made to succeed another person. Someone is a leader, so he brings someone else to succeed him. Istikhlafah. Like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu made istikhlaf of who? Umar ibn al-Khattab. When he was to die, he brought Umar, okay, this is the next amir. This is the actual of that word, Khalifa. This is the reason why some of the Shia say no, they do not accept the Khilafah of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. They say because this word, Khalifa, it means someone that a sitting ruler or leader makes to become a ruler after him. Like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did to Umar. They said, so the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam did not draw out Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and establish him as a ruler. So why do you call Abu Bakr al-Siddiq as a Khalifa? Ulama say you don't understand that word. Yet, one of the meanings of saying Khalifa is istikhlaf. The leading person, the ruling person who is to be succeeded, appoints him as a successor. He succeeds him. Ulama say even if he does not appoint him, but he ends up succeeding him, The one who succeeds is also referred to as what? Khalifa of the person that he succeeds. So linguistically, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah in Minhaj al-Sunnah explained this point, because the book was to refute the Shia in some of these false ideologies that they have. He went into linguistic forms, into various verses in the Quran where Allah used that word. And he concluded that, in fact, in many of the places, the word istikhlaf or khalifa is meant to mean somebody who became in the position of a person that was there before. Whether the one who was there before was the one that appointed him, or he was appointed through any other name. Once he is occupying the position that the previous leader was occupying, it is also correct linguistically to establish and mention that person as what? Khalifa. And that's why the people of Sunnah, like Al-Imam Ibn Kathir Rahimahullah in Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, he was refuting the Shia and he was mentioning some Athar. Al-Imam Ibn Khuzaymah reported an Athar where one of the companions, Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri, reported that on the day that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was appointed as the Khalifa of the Muslims and as Khalifa of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, Khalifa of the Muslims, ruler of the Muslims, Khalifa of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, the one who succeeds the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, that on that day when he looked around and he did not see Ali ibn Abi Talib, he asked, where is Ali radiallahu anhu? And Ali was called radiallahu anhu. If you ask, why wasn't he there from the beginning? He was not there from the beginning because Ali radiallahu anhu was affected by the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in two ways. The first way is that Fatima radiallahu anha was seriously affected by the death of the Prophet Muhammad. If we do not forget, she passed away also radiallahu anha, just 6 months after the demise of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ali radiallahu anhu was firstly affected by that. She was really affected and he had to console her. So on that very Monday that the Prophet died, the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, when the people converged in the conference house of Banu, the place is just, if you've been to Medina, the place is just on the end of the Qibla, behind the Qibla. If at the side, if you face the Qibla, behind the Qibla at the end of the mosque, towards the right, there is a markaz now that has been built in that particular location. It is called, if I'm not forgetting, Markaz Sheikh Abdulaziz Ibn Baz. And the place is encircled in a compound. That was where Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was appointed, radiallahu anhu, in Al-Madina. So after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was confirmed dead, they went there. And that was where Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was appointed. So at the time, it was still normal for Ali radiallahu anhu to remain with his wife, trying to console her, to be, you know, patient and all of these. So after Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was appointed as the Amir, he looked around and found that he had not seen two people, Zubair ibn Awwam and Ali ibn Abi Talib. He called for each of them. When he called for Ali radiallahu anhu, Ali came radiallahu anhu and Abu Bakr said to him, look, I've been appointed as the Amir. Should I hand over to you as the Amir? It says, La tasriba ya khalifata rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a point of reference that Ali radiallahu anhu referred to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq also as what? Khalifatu Rasulillah. And the Asar is Sahih. It says, La tasriba, my absence was not a way of finding blame with you, O Khalifa of Rasulullah. So this is evidence that Ali radiallahu anhu also used that word to describe who? Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. What is the word? Khalifa to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. It's the second aspect of Rad against the Shia regarding that word. And there's a little kisah around this hadith between Imam Ibn Khuzaymah and Imam Muslim. If you read Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, you see the kisah. They are very interesting regarding this hadith. The point of reference is that this word Khalifa to Rasulillah was actually used by Ali ibn Abi Talib in reference to who Abu Bakr was to be. And he also gave him the bay'ah on that point. So that is evidence that Ali radiallahu anhu from the very first day recognized the khilafa of who Abu Bakr was to be radiallahu anhu. So wa yuqalu bi fadli khalifati Rasulillah. So there is no grumbling about the use of that word. Although, when I read this, something came to my mind. Many times, we have problems if somebody says a thing in the manner that you don't know. Many people are quick to criticize them. Somebody uses a word in the manner that is strange to you. My dear brother, the first thing is for you to research that word and find out whether the word is used in that manner. Not condemnation first. Condemnation should come even thought. Condemnation should come after you found out that the brother was erring and you try to correct him. He's rejecting correction. Second, then condemnation could come. But many times somebody uses a word, I have experience of this, even words that the messenger used in hadith. When in Arabic language you employ the same word, some people find it strange, they begin to criticize it. But this is not the point. Perhaps on other occasions, Allah will bring us, I will mention examples of things like this. Words that are established from the hadith of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And when they are used, the people, Arabic, young Arabic think, oh, this is a strange word. Because they don't know that it is established in hadith like that. This is one example of such expression. وَيُقَالُ بِفَضْلِ خَلِيفَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. We believe in the excellence, in the virtue of the Khalifa of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the person who succeeded the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that Khalifa was who? Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu was the Khalifa of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he has a lot of fadail. From amongst that is that he is the first matured male to accept Islam. The Shia would say the first person to accept Islam was Ali ibn Abi Talib. But he was a young boy at the time. He had not matured. The first matured person to accept Islam was who? Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, a male. The first matured person to accept Islam, female, was who? Khadija bint Khuwaylid. In fact, she's the first human being to accept Islam. The first human being to accept Islam from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was who? A female, Khadija, radiallahu anha. Then the first matured male to accept Islam was who? Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was such a very rich person at the time, radiallahu anhu. And he spent all his entire money into the deen. So the extent that the day that he died, he only had jufna, a place with which he ate. And he was Amir for 2 years. He was Khalifa for 2 years. He only had a place with which he ate. After he had lived as a millionaire or as a billionaire, radiallahu anhu. But he spent all the money on the path of Allah subhanahu. In a hadith reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi in his Sunan, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, مَا نَفَعَنِي مَالٌ مَا نَفَعَنِي مَالٌ أَبِي بَكْرٍ الْصِدِّيقِ. No wealth benefited me as the wealth of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq benefited me. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No wealth benefited me as the wealth of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq benefited me. So radiyallahu anhu, he had a lot of fadail. From that is that the likes of Abdurrahman ibn Awf, Uthman ibn Affan, Zubair ibn Awam, Talha ibn Ubaidillah, all the people accepted Islam from the very first day. From who? From Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. He accepted, he went to invite the rest of his friends to Islam. Radiallahu anhu. The fadail of Abu Bakr is sufficient as an entire discussion. But if we go on with that, we will not leave this place today. Al-Imam Muslim reports a hadith in his Sahih that one day after Salatul Subhi, the Prophet ﷺ asked three questions. He asked who was fasting today. And Abu Bakr al-Siddiq raised his hand. He asked who had visited a sick person today. He raised his hand. And he asked who had witnessed a janazah today, or janazah. He raised his hand, radiallahu anhu. And the Messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, these three things do not combine in an individual on a single day, except that Allah enters that person into Al-Jannah. On that day, it was one of the areas where Umar said, I knew that he is superior to me. Umar, radiallahu anhu. There are incidences where he will say, I know that you are superior to me. I know that you are better than me. He will say that to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. He said it when he was explaining the case of Hudaybiyah. When after the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was asked to delete the word Rasulullah, and he did. Umar radiallahu anhu was saying, did you not promise that Allah will give us victory? He went to ask the Prophet that, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, did I tell you that the victory will come this year? When he came to ask Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, that didn't the Prophet tell us that Allah will give us victory? Abu Bakr al-Siddiq asked him the same question the Prophet asked him, radiallahu anhu. So did he tell you that it will be this year? And the Prophet had told him, look here, Umar, I will not ask except by the permission of Allah. He went past Abu Bakr al-Siddiq again. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq told him, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam will not ask except by the instructions of Allah. He said, I knew that he's better than me. There was also the case between them and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, where the Messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man sarrahu an yakara al-Qur'ana fariyan. It's like that in some of the riwayat. Kama anzalahu Allahu falyaqra bi qira'ati ibni ummi 'abdin. Whoever wants to read the Quran fresh, as Allah revealed it, let him read the Quran as Ibn Ummi Abd. That is the nickname of Ibn Abbas. As Ibn Abbas read it. When these two people heard it, Umar heard it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr heard it too, radiallahu anhu. He was running to go and tell his brother, Ibn Mas'ud. We are not like that these days. If these two people did not wish well for Ibn Mas'ud, they will not be pleased to want to tell him what had happened. The good news the Messenger had mentioned about him, alayhi salam. For us, we may come and start listening to the qira of Ibn Mas'ud so that we can pick his fault. That is the way the Muslims of today are. Let's pick it so that we can use it against him. But they rushed to say to Ibn Mas'ud the good thing they had heard about him. Before Umar radiallahu anhu got to him, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was already with him. He said, I know that there is no good deed I want to do. You will pass me before I do it. There is a lesson here for us, the rest of us. That lesson is that what they have not taken as worship, don't take it as worship. Because they were faster to do acts of worship than you. Jundub ibn Junada, Abu Zarr ibn al-Ghifari, he was said to have said, if you place a knife on my neck to kill me, before you squeeze the knife to kill me, I remember a sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. I will practice that sunnah before you kill me. To mention how they hasten towards practicing the sunnah. So don't start an innovation. Because لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِ خَيْرًا لَسَبَقُوكَ إِلَيْهِ. If there was any good in it, they would have done it before you. These are people who before they sleep, they will be thinking about which sunnah they had not done. The person who did that most was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. And each time the likes of Umar radiallahu anhu tried to do a good deed, they found out that the likes of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq had gone past them. So that was why in the major events of the life of the Prophet Muhammad, Abu Bakr was with the Prophet Muhammad. Abu Bakr was with the Prophet. He witnessed all the battles of the Prophet Muhammad. And he was with the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam when they made what? Hijrah to Medina. And they were in the hole together. And Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was telling the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, if they look on the ground, they will see us. He says, Ya Abu Bakr, ma zannuka bi ithnaini Allahu thalithuhuma. What do you think? Don't worry. What do you think about two? That the thought of them is who? Allah. So with that, he pacified Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Radiallahu anhu. You were always together in the difficult times. Radiallahu anhu. The fada'il of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq cannot be exhausted. Each time you mention anything about Islam, you will have to say something about Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Radiallahu anhu. Once Amr ibn al-As, this hadith is also in Sahih Muslim. Amr ibn al-As asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَيُّ النَّاسِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْكِ. Who amongst the people is most beloved to you? The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha. Says, مِنَ الرِّجَالِ أَبُوهَا. Who is most beloved to you? Aisha. رضي الله عنها. Okay, amongst men, her father. So that's indication that amongst the men, the most beloved man to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was who? Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr, his real name is Abdullah. Abu Kuhafa, we say Ibn Abi Kuhafa, Ibn Abi Kuhafa. Abu Kuhafa's name is Uthman. So Abu Bakr al-Siddiq is who? Abdullah ibn Uthman. He was a Muslim, his father was also a Muslim. Abu Kuhafa Uthman was also what? A Muslim. His mother was a Muslim. And all his children were what? Were Muslim. He was blessed with that. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is only 2 years older than who? Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. And Abu Bakr al-Siddiq died 2 years after the Prophet, meaning that Ali radiallahu anhu, he died when he was also 63. Always like that. Radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married his daughter, Aisha radiallahu anhu. We cannot exhaust the fada'il of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Radiallahu anhu. We cannot exhaust his fada'il. In all of these, naqulu biha. We speak it. We believe it, and our actions must indicate it. In this fada'il of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiyallahu anhu, al-Imam al-Muzani continued and said, فَهُوَ أَفْضَلُ الْخَلْقِ وَأَخْيَارُهُمْ بَعْدَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَهُوَ أَفْضَلُ الْخَلْقِ. Therefore, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, أَفْضَلُ الْخَلْقِ, is the best of creation. وَأَخْيَارُهَا, and the most noble amongst them, the most preferred amongst them, بَعْدَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ, after the Prophet Muhammad. That is when you remove the Anbiya and Rusul. When you remove the Anbiya and Rusul, the best human being was who? Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Because Allah told us in the Quran that the companions are khayrun nas. He says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ فَخَيْرُ الْأُمَّةِ خَيْرُ النَّاسِ. Allah says, you are the best of people ever raised amongst mankind. Those are the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. So the best of the companions will definitely be the best of the people. Just like our Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is the best of Anbiya and Rusul. So that's why the Imam says, فَهُوَ أَفْضَلُ الْخَلْقِ وَأَخْيَارُهُمْ بَعْدَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. After the Anbiya and Rusul, the best human being was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and the most preferred amongst human beings. Radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. This hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. He said, كُنَّا نُخَيِّرُ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. كُنَّا نُخَيِّرُ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. In the time of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, we used to grade and mention people according to their grade. في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. During the time of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. He says, فَنُخَيِّرُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ. Then we give preference to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq رضي الله عنه. ثُمَّ عُمَر. Then Umar. ثُمَّ عُثْمَان. Then Uthman. رضي الله عنه. This hadith is contained in Sahih Bukhari. Al-Imam al-Tabrani has a ziyada that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam will hear that and he will not condemn it. That is from the Sunan al-Wat Naam al-Takririya. That is from the Sunnah of silent approval of the Prophet Muhammad. The best of this Ummah was Abu Bakr, and then Umar, and then Uthman. The Messenger was alive and we would say that. He will hear us and not say stop that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If it were wrong, he would have said stop. So that's why Al-Imam Al-Muzani said, وَنُسَنِّي بَعْدَهُ بِالْفَارُوقِ. We will mention second after Abu Bakr. Who is that? Al-Faruq. Umar radiyallahu anhu. Al-Faruq. The individual that shaitan sees and runs away. The Messenger told him that, alayhi salatu wasalam, that Umar, you are a person that if shaitan sees you passing one way, he will look for another way to pass. If the shaitan sees Umar on one way, he looks for another way. Because Umar was on that way. Radiallahu anhu. So Umar radiallahu anhu comes second after Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Radiallahu anhuma. And Umar was such a person that the Messenger begged Allah to choose between Abu Jahl and Umar. Let one of these accept Islam, O Allah. And the dua was for who? Umar radiallahu anhu. This hadith was graded Hassan by Sheikh al-Albani. The option was for Umar radiallahu anhu. And he became the second Khalifa after Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. And Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was said to have been asked. This is contained in Manaqib of Umar, Al-Sira of Umar, by Al-Imam Ibn al-Jawz, Abdul Rahman, that it was said to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq while he died, that if Allah asks you, how did you leave the Ummah, what will you say? He said, I left for them the best of them. So that is evidence that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq considered Umar radiallahu anhu as the best of them, in addition to that statement from Ibn Umar, that during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we used to see Abu Bakr and then who? Umar radiallahu anhu. In another hadith regarding the fadail of Umar radiallahu anhu, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَعَلَ الْحَقَّ عَلَى لِسَانِ عُمَرْ وَقَلْبِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ جعل الحق على لسان عمر رضي الله عنه وعلى قلبه. Allah has placed the truth in the heart of Umar رضي الله عنه and on his tongue, on the tongue of Umar, when he speaks, it is the truth that you will find. And in his heart, what you will find there is what? Haq, truth. Many of the Muslims go around, even when their tongues speak the truth, their heart speak falsehood. The heart is soaked in falsehood. They do not even think when they want to lie. May Allah protect us. As for Umar radiallahu anhu, Allah placed the truth on his tongue and in his heart. And from his fadail also is that his daughter Hafsa radiallahu anha is one of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam. He says, radiallahu anhu, he says, wa huwa Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He says, fahuma Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and Umar radiallahu anhu, the two of them, wazira Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are the close companions of the Messenger that he takes advices from them. There are issues the Prophet to call, ask Abu Bakr, ask Umar, what do you think? as we have explained earlier. And always you see them, Abu Bakr Umar, always with the Messenger alayhi salam. On an occasion, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, and Uthman ibn Affan, they were with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in some riwayat also with Ali ibn Abi Talib. And they were on Mount Uhud, and the mount was shaking. And the Messenger said to his alayhi salatu wasalam, Uthbut, defend Uthbut. فإن عليك نبي أو صديق وشهيدا. Be firm, O Uhud, because what you have on you is what? A Nabi, a Siddiq, and two Shaheed. The Nabi was who? Himself, alayhi salam. The Siddiq was who? Abu Bakr. And the two Shaheedan was who? Omar and who? Uthman. Radiallahu anhu. So it was always like this, always together with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Imam said, فَهُمَا وَزِيرَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Wazir, today we'll call them ministers. But we will not call them the ministers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We call them close companions, closest companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَضَجِعَاهُ فِي قَبْرِهِ. They both lie by his side in his qabr. This may give an impression that one single qabr has the Messenger, has Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, and has Umar radiallahu anhu. But it is not like that. That is, they lie beside him where his qabr is. You find the qabr of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Then around his shoulder below, you find Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then after Abu Bakr, you find who? Umar radiallahu anhu. The three of them in the room of who? Aisha radiallahu anhu. So this is what he means. It is wahuma dhaji'ahu. They are both lying by his side. This is what he means by this expression. Fi qabrihi wa janisahu fil jannah. And the two of them will speak with him in al jannah. One of the ulama, Shaykh Ubayd ibn Abdullah al-Jabir, he says he cannot find an evidence for this expression in the books of Sunnah. That they are jalisah. They will sit with the Messenger on the day of Qiyamah, inside al-Jannah, till Jannah, that they are jalis, sit mate. See, he does not find evidence for it. But perhaps why the Imam mentioned this was by way of making us understand that ar-rajulu ma'a man ahabba, a person will be with those that he loves. For their love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they can be with him in al-Jannah. That does not mean that they have the same level or category inside the al-Jannah. As we know that the eminent sometimes could descend to come to the level of the lower person by way of making him enjoy himself, and then he goes back to his governor's office. If the governor comes and sits with you here now, it does not mean that he does not have a better chair in his house. Allahu alam. This is what I understand after listening and reading what the ulama say about this expression, that وَجَلِيسَاهُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. The two of them will be the seatmates of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inside al-Jannah. وَنُسَلِّسُ بِذِنُورَيْنِ. The third of them will consider the third most preferred in this ummah is who? ذِنُورَيْنِ. The man with the two lives. There is no human being after him that has two daughters of a prophet as husband. He married the first daughter of the Messenger, Ruqayya, and then he married another of his daughter, who? Ummu Kulthum. He married Ruqayya, and then the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam repeated it again after the death of Ruqayya, and married who to him? Ummu Kulthum. So Ruqayya is the Nur, the first Nur, and Ummu Kulthum is the second Nur. So that's why Uthman ibn Affan is called Zunurayn, the man with the two lights. And then Imam Hassan al-Basri said, there is no human being that has those kind of lights to have been a husband to two daughters of a Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The only person who had that virtue was who? Uthman ibn Affan. If he does not have any other thing mentioned of him as excellence, except this one, it suffices for him. Uthman ibn Affan, radiyallahu anhu. He was also from among al-muhajirun al-awwalun. He made hijrah also, the first hijrah to Habasha or to Abyssinia. He was amongst those who made that hijrah. Some reports said he led the first hijrah of 17. They were told some lies that the situation had changed. They returned. When they got on the way, they heard, they went back, about 86 of them. On both occasions, he was said to have led them. Uthman ibn Affan. He was such a rich person too, radiallahu anhu. And he spent the entirety of his money on the path of Allah. On three occasions, the messenger would mention, and more, that he is from the people of Al-Jannah. The messenger's mosque, alayhi salatu wasalam, was said to have been a bit small when more people accepted Islam and they came to Medina. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, who will buy the surrounding environment for us? And then Allah will write him reward for Al-Jannah with it. Uthman ibn Affan was the one who single-handedly bought the place. Radiallahu anhu. That is one record of Al-Jannah. Bi'ru Ruma. There is a well called Ruma. The well, the Ruma well. This well was supposed to be used for water, for ablution and all of that. The Jews insisted they would not sell it. When they agreed to sell it, they mentioned a very high price for it. Some say 30,000 dinars. Some said they asked for gold coins. Gold coins to fill the skin of a camel. All of these have been reported about the price. In any case, they asked for huge amounts of money. Uthman ibn Affan had, radiallahu anhu, he went and paid for it. And then he came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did you say anyone who has Bi'r al-Ruma will have? He said, Al-Jannah. He said, I have paid for it. And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ma dharra ibna Uthmana ma amila bihi ba'd al-yawm. Do anything you like. Nothing will harm you from after today. Do what you like. So you can say he purchased his Al-Jannah clothes. He did not purchase it because Al-Jannah cannot be purchased. But he left something of this dunya so that he can get Al-Jannah. Radiallahu anhu. Uthman ibn Affan. He was the third Khalifa after Umar radiallahu anhu. And we mentioned in 2-3 classes away how he was appointed as the Amir after the Shura. So Al-Imam al-Muzani said, وَنُسَلِّسُ بِذِنُّرَيْنِ. We mentioned the third of them as Dhunurayn. Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu. He also ruled after Umar, radiallahu anhu. He has a lot of fadail. Uthman, radiallahu anhu. And he was such a gentle person. Who will not want his own blood to be protected and shedding the blood of another Muslim? Some people gathered and killed Uthman ibn Affan. Before that, they had prevented him from drinking from this Bi'r al-Ruma, the same Bi'r that he bought. And they had prevented him from praying in the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad when he was Khalifa. They laid siege on his house in protest. They were protesting and demonstrating. Protests and demonstrations. They said they did not like some of his appointments. They did not like some of how he apportioned money for some things to be done in the Ummah. And that is the reason why they prevented him. One of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Maymuna radiallahu anha, was carrying a bowl of water. This asar is contained in Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba. He was carrying a bowl of water to the house of Uthman. Those people who laid feet prevented water from going in. She said, I'm the wife of the messenger. Allow me, let me give him water. They held her donkey and slapped the donkey on the face. Those who laid feet. May Allah protect us. And in the end, they killed Uthman ibn Affan. They cut off his head while he was in the midnight reading the Quran. And the ulama say his blood got stained on a portion in Surah Al-Baqarah where Allah says, فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Allah is enough for you against them. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Allah hears everything and He knows everything. One of his wives, Naila, she tried to prevent them from cutting his head. They cut part of her fingers from his head. رضي الله عنه. Uthman bin Affan. That was how he passed away. The companions had come to protect him, but he would say, no, leave them, let them do what they will do. Because of a hadith. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri reported a hadith that one day the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held his hand and took him to a well. The messenger from his sunnah, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, made tabweef on this hadith in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, that it is from the sunnah sometimes to sit on the ring of a well and put your legs inside the well. The messenger did that a lot. And this hadith of Abu Sa'id is hadith al-Mutawatir, according to the Imam Ibn Kathir in Al-Bidayah. So one day the messenger took Abu Sa'id. He made him to stay on the well, on the gate of that well. And he went to sit on the ring of the well. He said, so somebody came and knocked. Said, I asked, who is that? Said, it was Abu Bakr and Siddiq. So he came and told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Abu Bakr was knocking. He says, إِذَنْ لَهُ وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ. Allow him to come, but give him information that he will enter Al-Jannah. So he opened the gate and said, the messenger said, I should tell you, alayhi salatu wasalam, that you will enter Al-Jannah. That's Abu Bakr. The next person who came to knock was who? Omar radiallahu anhu. The same thing happened. It says, إِذَنْ لَهُ وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ. Allow him to come in and give him glad tidings that he will enter Al-Jannah. They opened the gate, he came in. Then Uthman bin Affan. He said, إِذَنْ لَهُ وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ أَلَا مُصِيبَةٍ تُصِيبُهُ. Allow him to come in, tell him he will enter Al-Jannah, but he will have some crisis. He will have troubles, trials that will afflict him. Abu Sa'id said, he dropped his head and says, Wallahu al-Musta'an. This is where that statement comes. When you hear or see something that trembles you, that scares you, what do we say? Allahu al-Musta'an. That was what Uthman said, radiallahu anhu, before he came in. So when the fitna started, he had known that he had to be patient. Radiallahu anhu. And Uthman bin Affan was such a companion that because of his humility, because of his patience and easygoing nature, the messenger himself was shy of him. The messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always shy of Uthman bin Affan. There's a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, I think also in Sahih Muslim, that one day Abu Bakr al-Siddiq came in while the Prophet was sitting in a particular way. He says, allow him to come. He came in, the Prophet did not change his seat. Omar came to knock. You see, always Abu Bakr, Omar. Omar came to knock, radiallahu anhu. Then allow him to come in. He came in and sat down. When Uthman came and knocked, and the messenger said, the messenger readdressed his seat, alayhi salatu wasalam, and said, allow him to come. He came in and when they left, Aisha radiallahu anha was asking, when Abu Bakr al-Siddiq came, you did not change your sitting position. No? When Umar came, you did not change your sitting position. Why did you change when Uthman came in? The messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah astahi mimman tastahi minhu al-malaika. Should I not be shy of a man that the angels are shy of? This was the same man that those people who killed him were accusing him of evil. A'udhu Billah. So may Allah protect us. May Allah protect us. And protesters should take note. This is one of the evidences that there is no protest in Islam against constituted authority. Because like Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, it has never brought a better day. Protest has never brought something better. When you go outside, you say, it has not brought a better day. May Allah protect us. وَنُسَلِّفُ بِذِنُّرَيْنِ كُوْ. The third person amongst them was who? ذُنُّرَيْنِ. Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu. Thumma bi dhil fadli wa tuqa. After Uthman ibn Affan, then comes Ali ibn Abi Talib. He called him dhul fadli, a person of honor and nobility, wa tuqa and piety, righteousness. The man of nobility and piousness. Why did he say nobility? Because he's from Banu Hashim. The father Abu Talib is one of the uncles of the Prophet Muhammad. The father of Ali, radiallahu anhu, and the father of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are from the same father. So the Prophet and Ali, radiallahu anhu, are what? Cousins. So he is a person of honor because he has the same genealogy with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's one of the best of genealogies. Wa tuqa, Ali radiallahu anhu was a person of piety. One of what he was described with was a lot of ibadah. It was said that Ali radiallahu anhu will fight during the day, during the night is in Qiyamul Layl. Many of us are weak now. We sleep from dusk to dawn. And it is our mouth that is much. As if the mizan of the day of Qiyamah is on our hands. May Allah protect us. Ibadah is weak now among the Muslims. So Ali radiallahu anhu was also described with ibadah. He was also described with valor, ability to fight. Yes. He was a strong person, radiallahu anhu. He fought. Being able to fight is a symbol of manhood. When the non-Muslims say, your messenger fought once, we say, yes, he wasn't a woman. Our messenger was a man. So how do you say somebody is a man and is not strong physically? One day, this hadith is also in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, a light sound was heard in Medina. Boom! The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam woke up in the night, he picked his sword and he was going towards the area of the sound. Alayhi salatu wasalam, he wasn't a lily-livered person. And when he was seen that there was no problem, he was coming back, that was when people already carried sword. What is happening? He said, no, go back. I have checked, there is nothing. In the middle of the night. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's an attribute, it's a positive attribute to say somebody was a man who fought battles. When they say a messenger had many wives, you say yes, he was a man. A man do that or does that. That's where we find men. Likewise, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali radiallahu anhu had more than 33 children. Ali radiallahu anhu, he had more than 33 children. Radiallahu, Ibn Kathir mentioned it in Al-Bidayah. Ali radiallahu anhu had a lot of children and four wives regularly. Radiallahu anhu, he was a man. You know, some of the brothers quiver and shiver to even take care of a single wife. May Allah make this easy for us. When they talk about marrying more than one wife, they will shout, Allah Akbar, subhanallah, in his mouth. When the matter comes now, then you know, man baka min man tabaka. May Allah make this easy for us. So these are from the attributes of men. So Ali radiallahu anhu was a man of piety, was a man of nobility. And he was a man that Allah loved, and he loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. There's hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, that after one of the battles, I think Tabuk, they were resting, trying to go back home. The messenger said, alayhi salatu wa salam, he wanted to send somebody to a part of Yemen at the time. So he said, tomorrow I'm going to give the flag to a man. يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَيُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Allah and his messenger love that man, and the man loves Allah and his messenger. I will give this flag to a man tomorrow. Allah loved the man. The messenger loved the man. Alayhi salatu wa salam. That man also loved Allah. And who? The messenger. Alayhi salatu wa salam. So the companions started to discuss in the night. Nani go be yo? Nani go be like that. He started talking. Who will it be? So the next morning he asked, where is Ali radiallahu anhu? He was said to have pain in his eyes. They called him. The Prophet spat on that face, the eye that was paining. And he said, it was as if the eye had never been pained before. And then the Prophet gave him the banner to lead a group of Muslims in a battle. Ulama say this is evidence that Ali radiallahu anhu yuhibbu Allah wa rasulahu wa yuhibbuhu Allah wa rasuluhu. Ali radiallahu anhu loves Allah and his messenger, and Allah and his messenger love him too. So we say summa bizil fadli wa tuqa. After the first three, then bizil fadli wa tuqa. We give preference to the person of nobility, wa tuqa, and righteousness. Who was that? Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali radiallahu anhu. Radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Thumma al-baqina min al-ashra. Thereafter, subhanAllah, we spent the time already. Let's stop here, inshallah. We'll continue with the rest of them. The other six, amongst those that the messenger told that they will come into Al-Jannah, like Zubair ibn Awam, Abu Muhammad, like Abu Ubaida Amir, Ibn al-Jarrah, Amin al-Ummah, like Talha ibn Ubaidullah, and the rest of them, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Sa'd ibn Malik ibn Uhayb, Abu Ishaq. We mention them, inshallah, in our next classes, and the fadail they had, especially the fadail of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was the companion the Prophet said about him, alayhi salatu wa salam, Allahumma stajib li Sa'd iza da'ak. Oh Allah, answer Sa'd when he calls you. So when he makes dua, the dua is answered. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Sa'd ibn Malik ibn Uhayy. Abu Waqqas is Malik ibn Uhayy. So when we say Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, we should not say radiallahu anhu. We should say what? Radiallahu anhuma. Because both himself and his father died as Muslims. We'll stop here, inshallah, till our next class. The discussions about the companions of the Prophet is ever endless. Radiallahu anhum. We'll always have one thing or the other to mention about them. We'll continue from there, summa al-baqin, inshallah, in our next class. May Allah bless the sitting and not deprive us the rewards in this dunya and hereafter. If there are one, two questions, we'll try to attempt. Alaykum as-salam. I'm coming here. Naam. Alayhi salatu wa salam. Yes. Yes, alayhi salatu wa salam. The courage may be sufficient to lead Salah in the masjid. Then the question is complex because you have not even ascertained his knowledge. You say if at all he is knowledgeable, then he is not sufficiently courageous. You have not said anything. Is he knowledgeable and not courageous? Or knowledgeable and courageous? Or courageous and ignorant? If he is knowledgeable but not courageous. If he is knowledgeable, he can read the Quran very well and he knows the sunnah of deen, he should be made imam. The conditions of making imam, for everything you need, you look at the condition, what that thing deserves. That is what will determine who you will appoint to lead those people. We said Ali was a very courageous person, Ali radiallahu anhu. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam brought him to lead a battle. You see now? So you bring those who are courageous when you need courage most. The fact that he was courageous, is Ali radiallahu anhu ignorant? One of the leading scholars of Islam was Ali radiallahu anhu ever. So but here, courage is put in the forefront. So it depends on what you want to do. So imamship, knowledge is put in the forefront, then other things. So he may have more knowledge than he has courage. There is no problem, inshallah. Now. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf is amongst them. Rabbi Allahu anhu, Abu Muhammad. I hope I remember his kunya. He is Abu Muhammad. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf is Abu Muhammad. He's amongst them, رضي الله عنه. One of the most humble people in this ummah. He was stupendously rich. Yet, he would read Quran from the mouth of Ibn Abbas. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf learned Quran from Ibn Abbas. The hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. It takes a lot of humility. And he was amongst the first people to accept Islam. Yes, when Ibn Abbas came, he taught him Quran. And he still learned it. It was not a thing of abuse. This is evidence that a young person who knows something better than you could learn from him. Ibn Abbas did not say, before they gave birth to you, I have been inside this Islam. He learned. Then it was not a thing of abuse for Ibn Abbas. Because some of the people can say, as old as he is, look at the young boy teaching him something. It means a little young boy can know something that the elderly ones may not know. In fact, Umar taught the rest of the companions this lesson regarding Abdullah ibn Abbas. رضي الله عنه. He was such a very humble person. But one of his greatest manakib that was not commonly known about him was, since the death of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he was the one spending upon the household of the Prophet Muhammad. He was the one providing money that they would spend. Ibn Auf. Till he went away. رضي الله عنه. He was also mentioned from amongst the people of Al-Jannah. We will mention some of his manakib, inshallah, in our next class. Amin wa antum. Alaykum salam, HS. Naam. Backdrop. Okay. Hassan and Hussein are not related to Shia, except that the Shia claim them. They claim to ascribe themselves, like the Saba'iyya amongst them who started it all. They claim that they are the party of Ali ibn Abi Talib. The meaning of Shia means party. So when you bring it full, they say Shia to an Ali. Shia and Ali. Those who took party with Ali. Radiallahu anhu. But he was not the one who invited them to do that with him. And when they said he was Allah, he fought them. Yes, they ascribed themselves to him. How many times have Christians ascribed themselves to Jesus Christ alayhi salatu wasalam, and he does not know them? Jesus Christ alayhi salatu wasalam, Isa alayhi salam, he never knew Christianity. Yet the Christians ascribed themselves to him alayhi salatu wasalam. So forget about the ascription. What matters is the reality under the ascription. Yes, the Shia ascribed themselves to Hassan and Hussein, but they don't have any connection with them. The Hassan and Hussein are two children of Fatima radiallahu anha. They are the two grandchildren of the Prophet he met alayhi salatu wasalam. And Hassan radiallahu anhu became Khalifa after Ali ibn Abi Talib for only 6 months. And then he handed over to Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan after 6 months. And then he went and lived in Medina. He died in Medina. But Hussein had issues with Banu Umayya, Marwan ibn Hakam, long story, but suffice to say they don't have any dealings with the Shia. Allahu A'lam. Alaykum As-salam. Is it allowed in a polygynous home when a wife has more than one wife to make it known that he loves one woman than the other? Al-Imam al-Nasa'i has a book he calls Ishratul Nisa, dealing with women. It's an entire book, different from Sunan al-Nasa'i. Although in Sunan al-Nasa'i he has the Bab, Kitab Ishra of Nisa, but he has a book, Mustaqil, for Ishratul Nisa. In Ishratul Nisa, he gave a tabweeb with this hadith. He gave a chapter heading with this hadith that it is allowed, chapter, babun, chapter, indicating that it is allowed for a man to let the rest of his wives know that he loves one of them more than the rest of them. And this hadith is the end. What the brother was asking about is it allowed? And that is the response that we are giving, that yes, it is allowed. But the issue is, when you deal with things that are allowed, you must maintain a lot of hikmah in doing it. If you think that doing that will cause more problems for you, you better not do it. But if it will not cause a problem to you, that the women will be people of iman and taqwa like those people. Allahu Akbar. Maybe also when you talk to a woman, sometimes you like somebody best and that person does something that you don't like. So you may tell her that, and you know that you are the one that I like best. You can do that, talking to her directly alone. So it's also evidence that you can tell a woman that you are the one that I like best, even if you don't tell others. So because things like that work a lot during reconciliation. When you reconcile with a woman and you say things like that, it goes a long way to bridge the gap. Sheikh Hussein Al-Awaisha, in his Sharh of Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, he mentioned one of the virtues of telling a Muslim that I love you for the sake of Allah. And he cited it from some of the early Muslims. Because Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, Man ahabba akhahu falyukhbirhu. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Whoever loves his brother should inform him. So the ulama say that when you inform your brother that I love you, he feels safe with you. He feels safe with you. More so if you know that you are a very truthful person. He will feel safe. If you are with him, he feels safe. He can say something. He can hold back. He will trust you. So it will connect the two of you more. In fact, some of the ulama say it is obligatory. Go back to the shuruh of Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. They hold that because of this Sigatul Amr by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the statement of command that tell him, a companion came and said to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, I love so and so. He said, have you told him? Alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, no. He said, go and tell him now. The companion went and told him. Radiallahu anhu. When you tell a woman that, look, I love you, you assure her, and she feels comfortable with you. So if you have more than one wife, and you say, look, you are the one that I love most, you tell her that personally. It's a way of assuring her she will be better. She will do better in her dealings with you. But those of us who don't have more than one wife, we don't have problem with this kind of thing. Just keep to your one and... لا ما تطهر إن شاء الله. everywhere issues of marriage is discussed, you see people smiling and laughing. This is fitra. It is fitra. It is a fitra. It's the way Allah has created us naturally. May Allah protect us. Alaykum as-salam. Now, if a person does not believe in these people that they will enter al-Jannah, can we call him a kafir? No. We said that wal imsaku an takfiri ahli al-qibla. We should hold back from declaring the Muslims as kuffar. Wal bara'atu minhum fima ahdathu. When they commit a sin, we should avoid the sin, or when they start an innovation, we should not join them. If that person comes and says, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq will not enter al-Jannah, he's denying a clear-cut statement. Al-Ma'lumu min ad-Din bil-Barura. This deed, every person necessarily knows that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq will enter al-Jannah. So he started to deny that verse. So even though that statement is so grievous, the worst or the best of what we will say to that is to educate the person first. Like a companion made a statement, radiallahu anhu, that appeared like a statement of shirk, which was actually, because Messenger mentioned that, ataj'alani lillahi niddan, are you making me an equal with Allah? And ja'alu lillahi niddan, making a nid, an equal, an equivalent with Allah, is from the aspect of major shirk. Yet, the Messenger did not declare him as mushrik. So, even if he had made a statement that constitutes shirk or kufr, we should not hasten to declare them as kafir. We should then follow the stage of education and enlightenment. And it doesn't mean I have told him. Some people say it is ikhbar, information. But it's often I have told him, so if you don't be kafir, nah. It is ifham, or tafhim. You make the person understand what ta'lim. You teach the person. It is not I have told him. So if you tell him, I still say tomorrow is kafir. No, not like that. And that's why Sheikh Al-Albani, I always use this as an example. In his time, I listened to the audio, about 3 or 4 audios. A man declared that he was a Nabi. The Sheikh invited this man to his house, rahimahullah. And they sat down in a discussion till the next morning. When they prayed Salatul Isha, he told the man to leave the Salah. By the next morning, the man had recounted that he's not a Nabi, that he was making a mistake. To claim to be a Nabi is kufur. Yet, the Imam did not declare the man as what? Kafir, because he could sense ignorance from him. So it was after the discussion, the man changed. If he didn't give him the opportunity for a discussion, he would have been calling somebody who should be a Muslim as a kafir. Which one pays us? That is a kafir or that is a Muslim? That is a Muslim pays us. So why not we follow the procedure that the Sharia has established instead of hastily declaring Muslims as kuffar? Let's not forget wal imsaku an takfiri ahli al-qibla. Alaykum as-salam. What? Okay, praising people. You spoke big grammar. In culture, it's in every culture that I know, especially Africa, we have awe, eulogy, praise. They start praising you and your head will be expanding. As they say, if that statement has some shirk or kufur from what a person's past forefathers used to do, Should you allow it that it is said to you? No, you should not allow it that it is said to you. You should avoid that aspect of shirk or kufr that is said in that eulogy. Even if it is a sin of sin, if it is a sin of sin, you should avoid that it is said regarding you when you are being talked about. In fact, you should essentially discourage people from praising you. From the sunan of praising people is that when you praise them, the one being praised should pick some stone and stone you. It is sunnah. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported the hadith in Al-Adab al-Mufrad. You pick some stone and pelt the stone at the person. So you stop the praises. Even though he brought other ahadith that indicate that praising is also good. So the ulama say, you praise a person if you are praising him will not break his back. If praising him will make him do better, praise him. But if praising him will lead him to some other evil, then don't praise him. Because all of these statements, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, it is praise. It is praise. That Allah placed haq in the heart and on the tongue of Umar, it is praise. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was praising them. So another thing we can do when they praise us was what Abu Bakr al-Siddiq will do at radiallahu anhu when he is praised. He will say, Allahumma la tu'akhidni bima yakulun, waj'alni khairan mimma yazunnun, waghfirli ma la ya'lamun. It's also in Al-Adab al-Mufrad of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. Allahumma la tu'akhidni bima yakulun. Oh Allah, don't hold me responsible for what they say about me. وَجَعَلْنِي خَيْرًا مِمَّا يَظُنُّونَ. Make me better than they think. وَغْفِرْنِي مَا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Forgive me what they don't know about me, but that deserves forgiveness. He says that when he is praised. Ulama says too, rahimahumullah. So that is the general rule about praise. More so when that praise includes sin, or the praise includes things of shirk, we should reject it. Allahu A'lam. Alaykum As-Salaam. A man has four wives. You have two. Huh? Okay. Now, you say what? He got separated from one. Or one of them died. Is it allowed for him to marry another one? To complete the four? Yes. It is one of the sunan of the early Muslims. When they had a wife who dies, they married another one. Or they separated from her, they marry another one. And some of them, as a result, got a large number. They had three wives. They got separated from one. They married another one in her place. They got separated from one. They married another one in her place. It is allowed. A verse of the Quran says it. وَقَدْ جَرَى عَلَيْهِ عَمَلُ الصَّلَاةِ الصَّالِحِ. And the early Muslims, their actions indicate its permissibility. The verse in Surah An-Nisa. In Arabic, istibdal azawj makan azawj. This verse, if you want to place a woman in the position of another woman, that is, you have a woman, you got separated from her, you now marry another one in her place. It is allowed. One of those who practiced it was Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. He was said to have about 90 wives, because he had some that he married in the place. And some died, some he got separated, he married in their places. Likewise, Mughira ibn Shu'bah, he had 70. Sa'd ibn Sahl al-Sa'id, he had 90. He lived very long, he lived for over 110 years. And he was strong throughout his life. So many of his wives were dying. When they died, he married another one. When they died, he married another one. And there were some like Al-Imam Hammad ibn Salama. In his own case, he was looking for a male child. that Allah did not give him in the end. Rahimahullah, he married 74. Hamad ibn Salama. In all of these cases, either one of the wives dies or divorce comes, they marry in their places. I'm just trying to say that it occurs in the Quran, and the early Muslims were upon that. There are many of them. There was a time I was trying to compile the names of these people who had a lot of women. In fact, Ali radiallahu anhu was amongst them. Because of one ibara that Imam Ibn Kathir employed in Al-Bidayah while talking about the number of wives that Ali radiallahu anhu had. He said he had zawjat kathirat. He had many wives. Allahu a'lam. So, it is allowed in Islam. But it is also encouraged for the Muslim to preserve his marriage. Preserve your marriage. Preserve your marriage. Look well before you marry, both males and females. Sisters, look well before you accept to marry a man. Likewise, the men should look well before they marry a woman. The Messenger had warned us, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, تَخَيَّرُوا لِنُفُسِكُمْ. Select a good place for your semen. Select a good place where you place it. So because these days you see people talking about I love, you must look for somebody you love, is that love. Most of these things end after 6 months. All those text messages, Facebook messages, they end 6 months. That is now you see the true color of the woman or the true color of the man. So look well, make it beyond Facebook, because that is the craze now. Make it beyond all these media. Go to the people who know these people face to face, who have lived with them for years, who can tell you about them. There are some people, when they tell you about some men, that is what you will find, because they be with them. They live with them. And I always say the women should find out more and hesitate more to accept, because usually during separation, they are always at the receiving end. So, men, look well. Look well. I said this yesterday and I'm going to say this again today. A sister's jilbab is not sufficient. She's wearing jilbab, it's not sufficient. He has beard and jumpy trousers is not also sufficient. Please find out well. Many marriages crumble today because people are hit. And they are enticed by sheer surface exchange of pleasantries. So in the end, they think that marriage is picnic, but marriage is responsibility. Marriage is not picnic, dear brothers and sisters. Marriage is what? Responsibility. Everybody must be ready to bear responsibility. You must be responsible in a marriage. So, if the person is not responsible, don't say yes to him or her. So please find out well, look well before you leave. May Allah grant us safe landing. And those of us who have married and those of us who are just trying to look for women to marry, may Allah make things easy for us. We'll stop here, inshallah. We address these matters in our next classes. In our next